Every single one of us is called to be a champion. A champion has a cause that is more than oneself, a cause that can consume our life. And of course, as Christians, we devote ourselves to the cause of Jesus Christ. And as we study the champions of the Bible, imperfect people, ordinary people, people just like us, we learn principles as to what God is doing in our lives that call us to be a champion for Him, to take on the cause of Christ. And so, I believe that you were created for greatness. I believe that you were created by God to make an eternal difference with your life. I believe that based on the Word of God, that God has something very important for you to do in your life, to sow the seed that God has given to you that will impact others. A champion for Christ is an others-focused champion. And today we want to talk about Elisha. We're going to talk about how Elisha learned from Elijah, a great champion of God. And the courage challenge could either be follow and learn from a father in the faith, or become a servant leader for Christ by following a servant leader. In 1 Kings 19:19, Elisha was hard at work. He was working diligently. All right, he was doing manual labor. He was part of a family of workers, and he was working diligently in his profession. He was hard at work when Elijah called him. In 1 Kings 19:19, it says that Elisha was plying with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. So we're talking about 24 oxen, 12 pairs of oxen. He himself was driving the 12th pair. All right. And this is hard manual labor. And Elijah went up to Elisha and threw his cloak around Elisha as Elisha was hard at work, as he was doing his work diligently, his daily work. My parents have often taught a principle for ministry. And they've said, first comes the natural, then comes the spiritual. First comes the natural, then comes the spiritual. In other words, a person first demonstrates work ethic, godly character, servant leadership in the natural world. And then that experience prepares that person to exercise servant leadership in the kingdom of God. Promotion is from the Lord. He is the one person who sees all. He's the one person who sees our faithfulness at work. He's the one person who sees our faithfulness in doing our chores at home and doing the dishes. He's the one person who sees our faithfulness in worshiping the Lord, of course, in our relationship with Him. He is the one person who sees all. Promotion is from the Lord. And Elisha was a diligent worker. He was working in the field. He had a heart for God. And he was working. He had his own pair of oxen. All right. And he was working diligently. And the Lord saw this quality in Elisha in the natural world and then called him to be a servant leader in his spiritual kingdom. When Elijah threw his cloak upon Elisha, he was symbolically transferring his mantle of authority onto Elisha. However, ultimately, one's call is from the Lord. We receive our call from the Lord Jesus Christ. After Elisha asked Elijah to say goodbye to his parents, Elijah said in verse 20, "Go back. What have I done to you? What have I Elijah done to you? It's not my doing. It's the Lord's doing. It's the Lord who is calling you Elisha. What have I done to you? Elijah was saying, it's not I who am calling you, but the Lord himself. Your call is from the Lord. Elisha proceeded to sell everything. All of his materials, all of his work, those of us who are self-employed, those of us who have built up a business, we know that we have materials. We have utensils. We have our, what we produced over years to build up that business. That's what Elisha had. And Elisha proceeded to sell it all to follow the Lord's call upon his life. In verse 21, it says, Elisha took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people. And they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. I recall when I was called to become a pastor. I had been immersed in my first calling, basically to disciple and teach and encourage young people in the Lord. Just a very simple calling that the Lord had given me. To just encourage and disciple the children in their walk with the Lord. And I had been a teacher and a principal for many years. And I enjoyed this ministry tremendously. I enjoyed getting out and playing with the kids, getting out at recess and just being with the children. And I remember thinking, am I really giving this up? I remember the door to my office at that point in time, it just opened up to where the kids were playing at recess. And many days I would just be there in my office, twiddling my thumbs and just looking out at the kids playing at recess and just thinking, am I really giving this up? Those are the days when I just had one job. I was twiddling my thumbs. Am I really giving this up? Well, ultimately, in God's sovereign plan, as I sold all, in His sovereign plan, as I obeyed His Lord, the Lord's call to become a pastor, the Lord restored my calling to children as well. And we started a school as a result of this ministry, the ministry of the church here. Well, Elisha was from a rich family. Elisha had a good job. Elisha had the riches of this world. He was prospering in his occupation. But Elisha decided to sell it all. He gave it all up to follow the Lord. And Elisha became Elijah's attendant. His attendant. Not a very highfalutin term. Not a very strong job description. He became his attendant. But this term attendant is the same that is used for the champion Joshua who followed Moses. And we know that Moses was one of the greatest leaders of all time. Joshua followed Moses for many years. And then Moses was not able to go into the promised land. But then Joshua took what he learned from Moses and he led the people of God into the promised land. For many years, Joshua was Moses' attendant as Elisha was Elijah's attendant. The question I have for you is this. Are you willing to become someone's attendant? Are you willing to serve someone else's vision? Are you willing to learn from a Christian leader? That is what the Lord is calling us to. Well, Elisha started serving Elijah. Elisha became Elijah's attendant. He would not leave Elijah's side. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. So as time went on, Elisha served Elijah. Elisha became aware that it was time for Elijah not to die, but for Elijah to be taken away by the Lord God. It says in 2 Kings 2, verse 1, 2 Kings 2, verse 1, that the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. When Elijah told Elisha to stay at Gilgal, while Elijah went to Bethel, Elisha responded in verse 2, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." Elisha totally committed himself to following Elijah. When the prophets told Elisha, the other prophets told Elisha that the Lord was taking Elijah today, Elisha told them not to speak of it. "I am not leaving him." Elisha wanted to stay focused on attending to Elijah. There was a twofold attack on Elisha's focus. Often there is an attack on our focus. Attack on our focus of keeping our eyes upon the Lord, keeping our eyes fixed on Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Where there is a twofold attack on Elisha's focus. First, Elisha had to continually tell the other prophets not to speak of the Lord taking Elijah. You see, that affects the mind. And God wants you to know that you can control your mind. You can control your thoughts. You do not have to lead a debilitating life where your thoughts are just out of control. What if this is going to happen? What is that going to happen? Anxiety, anxious thoughts. God wants to gird you up in your mind, and He wants you to know that you can control your thoughts. Elisha said, "Do not speak of it." God wants you to know that you can be self-controlled and alert, that you can control the thoughts of your mind and win the battle of the mind, that you can think God's thoughts about you. You can think God's thoughts about your marriage. You can think God's thoughts about your children. You can think God's thoughts about your co-workers. You can think God's thoughts about your students. You can think God's thoughts about in whatever situation that you're in, that you don't have to be debilitated by worry, anxiety, care, fear. That God can gird you up in your mind. Secondly, the attack on Elisha's focus is that Elisha had to continually deny Elijah's requests for Elisha to leave him. Elisha showed tenacity in following Elijah. He would not be distracted from his goal of staying by Elijah's side until the Lord took him. 2 Kings 2:6 emphasizes their close relationship. "Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan.' And Elisha replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So the two of them walked on." The two of them walked on together. Elijah and Elisha in relationship. God often links one leader with another leader, one disciple with another disciple to advance His kingdom. God may link you with a fellow servant to be champions working side by side for the Lord's cause, partnering together for His kingdom. This principle of learning from a Christ-like leader should be taking place in many ways. It should be taking place all over the church. It should be taking place in our lives in many different ways. When a young person works with an experienced teacher at Vacation Bible School, this principle is in operation. When a committed disciple becomes an assistant to a flock group leader, this principle is in operation. When a developing worship leader serves under an experienced worship leader, this principle is in operation. When a young person learns under a teacher and then serves as a tutor in the summertime, as Beth is going to serve as a tutor this summer, but I guess she's out serving somewhere. All right? Or as a leader in a summer camp, this principle is in operation. It has to do with discipleship. It has to do with equipping leaders. It has to do with discipling the next generation. It has to do with bringing up sons and daughters to advance God's kingdom. This principle should be in operation in every area of our lives. The Apostle Paul spoke of four generations when he encouraged Timothy. "The things I have taught you, Timothy, to transfer to godly men who will also teach others. So you had Paul, Timothy, godly men who will also instruct others. Four generations. This principle should be in operation all over the church. And I love to see Vacation Bible Schools. I, you know, have Stefan lead the games, and I get like three or four games assistants, and I just say, okay, Stefan, you're in charge. See ya. I guess that isn't really the way to teach a guy, but you teach, you demonstrate, you help them to see how to take charge of a group, you lead, you encourage, you round up the group and so forth. You give them instruction. All right. You demonstrate, and then you watch how they do it. All right. And then you might lead. All right. All right. If only I could be taken up in a chariot of fire. Right. Okay. So after Elijah used his cloak to miraculously divide the Jordan River, and the two of them had passed over it on dry land, Elijah asked the question. I wonder if Elisha was just waiting for Elijah to ask the question. Elisha had been such a faithful attendant for so many years to Elijah. And Elijah asked Elisha what he could do for him before the Lord would take him. And in 2 Kings 2:9, Elisha responded, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." I want double. All right. I want times two. All right. I want what you have times two. I want more than what you have. Sounds kind of greedy. Sounds a little bit selfish. But in the kingdom of God, it's not greed. In the kingdom of God, it's not selfishness. Elisha was not being greedy for possession. He was not being selfish. Elisha was using an inheritance principle of parents to the firstborn to express his desire to continue his spiritual father's ministry. When you latch on to a spiritual father, you receive that person's heart and spirit to continue on. Instead of inheriting worldly possessions, you inherit the spirit which energizes you to carry on your spiritual father's ministry. You stand on your spiritual father's shoulders and make further advances for God's kingdom. That's what it's about, advancing his kingdom. In fact, you may have to be careful what you ask for. Because in the kingdom of God, you get more work. You get more responsibility. You get more service. That's what the double portion is. It's not possessions. It's not about me. It's about advancing God's kingdom. Well, in verse 10, Elijah told Elisha, "You have asked a difficult thing." We need to be about difficult things. We challenge the young people at Living Grace Christian School, and we're challenging all of us, that this life, this Christian life, yes, we're blessed. Yes, we have benefits. Yes, we're blessed to be Christians, and we can list all the benefits in the Word of God. But ultimately, we take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. Ultimately, it's not my will, but His will be done. Ultimately, in becoming strong in Christ, not strong in self, strong in Christ, we are willing to take on difficult challenges. We are willing to do things that are hard. That's the kind of disciple that God is calling us to be. And so Elijah told Elisha, "You have asked a difficult thing. Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." We learn from watching our leaders. That is a big way people learn. It's a big way students learn. It's a big way that we learn. Just learn from that. We learn from observing people attentively. Learning from. You can learn from other people's mistakes. All right. I love my dad, and I've learned a lot of things from my dad. All right. I can remember a time when my dad was going through a particular rough time of ministry. All right. Ministry closing down, people leaving the church. All right. And we were like in our older teens. And it might have been Tim or one of my brothers. And my parents were like, you know, what are you guys thinking? You know, it's like, you know, this is, we're going through this. I think our family went for a family retreat. It was a really rough time. We went off by ourselves up to maybe some retreat in Northern Maryland or whatever. And one of us encouraged my parents and told them, it's helpful for us to see you going through this because we can see that you can go through it and still honor God. And still follow Him and still stay faithful, not give up, not quit, and stay the course. It's helpful. Sometimes our children will see us going through some rough times. They're watching. They're seeing how we're dealing with those rough times. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. There's going to be storm clouds. There's going to be storms of life. And for us to learn by watching others, and also to know that our children are watching us as well. And so they walked in relationship. Elijah said, you've asked for a difficult thing. It'll be yours if you see me when I'm taken from you. Otherwise not. We learn from watching servant leaders for Christ. As we walk with that person, we gain what that person has. At the same time, it's not that person who's calling you. While the Lord is using that person to disciple you, it's the Lord's call. God is still in control. You are not called by another human being. You are called by God. God uses human hands, but rest assured, it's the Lord's call. The Lord's call upon your life will motivate you, inspire you, energize you, enable you to do great things for His kingdom. All right. It will be an enduring motivation, inspiration. It won't be one of these pep talks that a coach might give that, you know, can maybe get you roared up and going for a few minutes. It will be an enduring inspiration that will stay with you for the rest of your life. When the Lord calls you, answer the call. The Bible says in Matthew 22:14, many are called, but few are chosen. When God calls you, He is looking for your heart response and for His character to be born up within you. When God calls you to be a servant leader for Him, answer the call. Embrace God's destiny for your life. Tell Him that you're willing to follow Him where He leads you. Make yourself totally available to Him. As you do so and you go through that process in prayer and communication with God, He chooses you. He chooses you to do great and mighty exploits for His kingdom. 2 Kings 2:12. As Elisha continued to walk with and tenaciously attend to Elijah, Elisha saw an incredible sight. Elisha saw a chariot and horses of fire come down out of heaven and a whirlwind and came and took Elijah, separated Elijah from him and took Elijah away to heaven. Elisha's spontaneous reaction to this miraculous experience was to cry out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. It was Elisha's father that was taken from him. It was his father. I don't know if you've ever had a father taken from you. I haven't had a physical father taken from me, but I've had a spiritual father taken from me. Of course, I've had my grandfather taken from me. But that was his spontaneous response. My father, my father. The chariots and horsemen of Israel. Elisha had achieved his goal of seeing Elijah taken away by the Lord. At the same time, he was filled with grief at losing his spiritual father. What happens when we lose our spiritual father? It happened to Joshua when he lost Moses. It happened to Elisha here when he lost Elijah. In some sense, it happened to Jesus when he lost John the Baptist? What happens when we lose our father? We need fathers in the faith. Young people need spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. Older ones to reach out to and help young people to grow in their faith relationship with Christ and to take on the mantle of Christ's servant leadership. Young people, you are the future leaders of the church. And we are calling you to be involved in church, to be serving in church. All the teenagers here need to have some regular way of serving God, of being faithful to Him, to serve Him in the little things. As you're faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in the larger things, to be serving Him. This process of generational mentoring between those older and younger alludes to our mission. It all comes back to the mission. Christ said, make disciples. All right, to make disciples for Christ and to equip servant leaders for God's kingdom. Malachi 4, 5, and 6 expresses the spiritual dynamic of Elijah as a father to the next generation. It says, see, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. As Elijah came before and prepared Elisha, this prophecy really speaks of John the Baptist and how John the Baptist would come before and prepare the way for Jesus Christ. It emphasizes our utter need for fathers' hearts to be turned to the next generation and for children's hearts to be turned to their fathers. Obviously, this fatherly connection with children is one of the fundamental needs that we have in our world today. I would dare say that a lot of the ills that we experience in our society today come back to this root cause. Through Christ working in us, we can see this heart turning of fathers and children take place one family at a time. There is nothing more powerful than a child looking up and seeing his dad worship God with all his heart. The impact of the father's example is powerful. 2 Kings 2:13 says that Elijah has just gone to be with the Lord. We won't say that he died. All right, he was like Enoch, he was taken away. Elijah has just been taken up to heaven. Well, how did Elisha respond? He was filled with grief. But he looked at that cloak, Elijah's cloak, and verse 13 says that Elisha picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah. The cloak stayed and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Elisha taking up Elijah's cloak is symbolic of his taking up the mantle of servant leadership. There is the mantle given and there is the mantle taken. Sometimes a mantle is offered, but it's not taken up. Elisha chose to take up Elijah's mantle. He chose to embrace God's call upon his life. When we take up the mantle, we are deciding to be a participant in the Lord's ministry. It's His ministry. In Matthew 11, 29, Jesus tells us, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is nothing like being in the center of the Lord's will for your life. When you take upon His yoke, His burden, there is a sense of rest to it. Yes, you may feel like you're in the middle of a whirlwind, you're in the middle of some hurricane or whatever, but there is peace in the eye of the storm. There is a sense of rest. God calls us to take up His yoke and His burden, the call to minister His life and serve others. And the Lord says it will not be overburdensome. In Christ's ministry, there is a sense of resting in Him. Rest assured, the Lord will not give you more than you can handle. His grace is sufficient for you. However, we're called to take up God's yoke decisively. We hold it lightly, but hold it, we do. 2 Kings 2:14. Elisha took up the mantle. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. Elisha's mentor Elijah was known for incredible miracles, great victories over the prophets of Baal, great miracles, all right, that the Lord had wrought through him. But Elisha ended up performing twice as many miracles as Elijah. He truly received a double portion of the Lord's Spirit. As the Lord was with Elijah, he was with Elisha mightily as well. Verse 15, the other prophet said of Elisha, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. That was the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ can rest on you and in you as well. It's only by making Christ our Lord and Savior. It's only by taking up our cross and following Christ daily. It's only by responding to the Lord's call upon our life. Elisha counted the cost. He desired to be used by God. He asked to be used by God. And he took up the mantle of ministry, of taking on God's will and purpose for his life. Elisha sold all for Christ. He embodied what Christ expressed in Matthew 10:38-39. Anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Elisha lost his life for the sake of Christ. He was willing to sell all, take up his cross, and follow Christ. As he chose to sell all for the Lord, Elisha learned by following the champion Elijah. Likewise, we learn by selling all for Christ and following fathers and mothers in the faith. It's all about servant leadership. If you are willing to serve the Lord by serving others, you have a role to play in this adventurous ministry of Christ. I encourage you to find a spiritual father, mother, mentor, discipler, and servant leader for you to walk with, learn from, and disciple you in the things of God. This is how you grow into leadership, servant leadership after Christ. Let's all stand. I'd like to pray for you today. I just want us to come before the Lord and just be before Him. I can remember times in my life as a young person, even a struggling young person, just remembering that God was calling. God was calling me to something. God was giving me a purpose. He was giving me a destiny. And that calling is for every single one here. Just be before the Lord right now. Father, we thank you for your calling. We thank you that you're calling. We thank you, Lord God, that you're speaking to our hearts. We thank you that you're speaking to our spiritual ears, our minds. We thank you that you're inspiring us, Lord. And we thank you that that inspiration comes from the Spirit of Christ within us. Help us to sell all for you. Help us to be willing to grow in you by walking with a spiritual father or mother in the faith. Help us to be the servant leaders that you're calling us to be. Thank you for the great adventure of following your call. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day in the Lord.